This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Danela. My guest today is the lovely and amazing Yvonne Coll. Yvonne Coll is an actress, a performer, a mentor, a role model, a wise woman, and it's incredible to call her a friend, and I'm more honored that she's giving me this time. The reason I bring her to the show is because I recently lost my grandmother, who was a huge, humongous figure in my life. And in La Cultura Puertorriqueña, in Puerto Rican culture, the grandmother is a grand figure, a grand woman. And I'm having a bit of a hard time somehow mourning her, even though she's very present. Recently, in December of 2015, I saw Yvonne for the first time after a long time, and we had the chance to not only go out for a lunch with the family, because she's part of the family, but then subsequently go and enjoy a bottle of champagne in this restaurant in Santurce, in La Placita. And at some point, these people came in, and we were walking out, and a woman recognized Yvonne. And her eyes, I remember the moment was that her eyes lit up because it was like abuela, like she recognized abuela and she was so excited. And it was like a moment we were all like, ah, 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 ah! And I think we even screamed and everything. But the grand gesture was that Yvonne stretched her arms out to her and hugged her. And it was so generous and beautiful and maternal. And that stuck with me. Man, that stuck with me. So then after that, I promised Yvonne that I would follow on Jane the Virgin. And I did. And I love the show. And I'm so incredibly proud. And it's amazing. And so it's like all of it together. It's an homage to the grandmother. But it's also an homage to Yvonne. Porque ella es tremenda. Es artista. And I think she has incredible stories to tell us.
Oh, I can hear myself. I can hear myself, Sol Danela. okay, so they were, I'm good now. They were seeing Hispanic actors because Hispanic actors were protesting about the fact that they were not included in that casting.
I see.
And I went to a cattle call where there were like, literally like 500 people were standing in line there. And it was like that, those movie auditions that they are like out there in the dark and all you hear are the voices.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it was. In the Golden Globe Theater, I think it was, in a very old-fashioned Broadway theater. And they asked me if I could speak French at that moment. And I said, yes, I have taken some classes in the University of Puerto Rico. So I spoke a little bit of French. And that's the part they gave me. They gave me the part of a French woman who had basically three lines.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up doing. So I would do my Miriam Colon show in the evening and rehearse in the daytime for my Broadway show. That was my introduction in New York to my theater work, which I'm very fortunate, I'm very blessed to have had that experience, you know?
Yeah.
So for Miriam, like I did like seven more plays, including Betances, where I played Lola Rodriguez Etio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I learned my Puerto Rican revolutionary anthem. That your father sang the other day with
Francisco Céspedes, at that concert.
At that concert.
Oh my God, he said something really deep at that concert. I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect of like, you know, that he left his country because he was fleeing or leaving scarcity, and he went to another country and made a life. And then it turned out that he couldn't sleep in either country. He couldn't sleep in his home country, and he couldn't sleep in his new country. And that he, if he had known, he wouldn't have left. Oh, ay Dios mío. I wanted...
Let me tell you something so that I have that effect. I saw a special called The Old House, or Our Big Old House. It was a PBS special about Cuba, mm-hmm. and about how this kid wanted to go back with his mom, who were one of the wealthiest families in Cuba. Y esta mujer llega a Cuba, and she doesn't even want to go into the house. House is now an embassy because it was, you know, they were so rich, so wealthy. And she goes to an ice cream parlor, and somebody's complaining about the things that they don't have any chocolate. They only have fresa, but they don't have chocolate, something like that.
Oh, God.
They only have two flavors out there, I hear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, So one of them was complaining, and that he wanted to come to America because here they have and that woman, who is a right winger, who is a conservative Republican, I'm sure, Cubana, she looked at him and she said, "No, señor. Usted no va allá a buscar la felicidad because your family is here. Your happiness is here. This is what you know. This is your life. You're going to go to a new country, sir, where you won't know anybody, where nobody will care about you because it's too much of a big nation. To be, you know, nobody cares, and you have to fend for yourself. So if your complaint is that they don't have chocolate flavor, and they only have fresa, por favor, señor, you know?
Sí.
And it was like an incredible revelation that woman had gotten, that she realized that. And that's what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, there are some things that we're not in accord of, we're not happy with, but, you know, what is familiar to you, what belongs to you, what is your homeland, what is your culture, it should always stay with you. And you shouldn't, you know, leaving it because looking for what?
Well, I mean, that's the paradox, right?
Yes.
I guess the quagmire of the whole diaspora movement, of all movements, not just our own. You know, the displacement is, you know, why we do it. And
I'm from the beginning diaspora. I don't even belong to this other, you know, exile that the Puerto Ricans are doing right now. I did it early on.
Right.
When I did it, it was not even, I was brought up in a system in Puerto Rico where everything was militarily owned in the 40s, you see?
Mm-hmm,
in the 40s, not even the Commonwealth existed when I was born, you see?
Right.
So I was born in a world in Puerto Rico, everything. I would pledge allegiance to the United Flags of America every morning in my classrooms because my nuns were North American.
Right.
So for me to be presented the opportunity of moving to this country, like in 1970s, like I didn't even think that I was going to a foreign country, that I was like, you know, I just thought, let me get the education I need, and let me just go on. I never thought that I wouldn't go on just here.
Right.
Muy interesante.
Yeah, it is.
But you have to be where the work is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand. So to go back a little bit to, you know, I mean, it's all related, actually. It's a little bit of more of a romantic era, but it's a beautiful time in Puerto Rico, and that was that area of El Ocho Puertas, where, you know, my parents and you and Gabriel Suau and Nidia and Glenn and all these amazing, wonderful artists grew up, like, and, you know, it sort of formed you, didn't it?
Oh, my God. It was, you know... It doesn't exist anymore. Nothing like that exists anymore in Puerto Rico.
No.
And it was a flourishing of many places in Old San Juan at that time because it was the Great End. It was Ocho Puertas, La Tierruca, La Tea, which were not as sophisticated as Ocho Puertas, but, you know, certainly gave a venue to the young artists or to the established artists like Silvia de Villar, you know.
Right.
There, I mean, hello, you know, she was performing all the time with Jorge Cordova. Made them both rest in peace. It was very elegant era in Puerto Rico when we were performing in Ocho Puertas. People would come from their activities, from their weddings or graduations or other ceremonies, and would come to Ocho Puertas at 12 midnight was the first show.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And the last show would be at 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So it was a place where you would go to listen to the music and to have a little drink. Have your little drink, to commiserate, have a good time. And then there were 20-minute sets only. Those were the sets that we were doing.
Wow.
At least. Uh-huh. It was 20 minutes from 12 to 12:20, and then at 1, and then at 2 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock, you got out of there at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Así mismo. And it was great because, like, in between the shows, then Joe Valiente would play the piano, and everybody would know all the songs that he was playing because he would play popular songs that everybody could sing along to.
Wow.
And that's what people would... You know, the el gobernador, que bueno, el gobernador, I'm not going to praise him, but
right.
He would, Hernández Colón, he would walk from La Fortaleza with his entourage and all his cabinet and his people who were visiting him from the States, just walk up to Ocho Puertas just to see our shows.
Right up the street.
We're performing right up the street. And across from us, then from Ocho Puertas, then Gilberto Monroy opened what was called the guitar, la guitarra.
Mm.
Eso era la guitarra de Gilberto. Y entonces ahí donde está la Fundación Nacional right now.
Exacto.
That was la guitarra de Gilberto. It was a performing space.
Qué lindo.
Ajá. So it was like, and la danza was still, and still is, I think, the restaurant in the corner next to la guitarra, al frente del Ocho Puertas. So it was like very elegant, very beautiful time to be in Puerto Rico, where you would dress up, really, to go places. Not like now. You know, I was on Broadway last year watching Chita Rivera, and people were in Bermuda pants and metededos, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible things happening. I know.
Yeah, the going to the theater as an event has been lost a little bit.
Yes, right. Yes, it has. But in Puerto Rico at that time, going to the nightclub, the clubs, you know, especially like for an after drink, after you had the other ceremonies or the other shows in the bigger hotels.
Right, yeah.
Like Liza Minnelli, she would do her show at the, what was called the San Jerónimo Hotel back then.
En Isla Verde.
No, San Jerónimo is the one that is right there where the... where the Puente Dos Hermanos is, in Condado. I don't even know what the name is. It's Condado Plaza. I don't even know what the name of it is right now. It's right there across from the Caribe Hilton in
Condado Plaza.
Puente.
Condado Plaza.
Condado Plaza?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, yeah, yeah. Condado. It was back at San Jerónimo.
And she would play there.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it was...
My mom told me that she knew Bern Antor.
Yeah. And that's how I ended up being her guest in Miami, like for a week and a half, because she came over to see my show at Ocho Puertas, and I had the privilege to sing for her birthday party.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
So Thoran Byrne contracted me to sing for Liza before she earned the Oscar.
Really?
And
wow.
Then the next time she came, she had already won the Oscar, and then we went to Thor Byrne, and I went to see her at the San Jerónimo, what was the San Jerónimo back then, and there she decided, she goes, okay, the three of you are coming with me to Miami, I'm doing the Diplomat Hotel.
And I'm like, oh my God.
And at the time, I had my TV show, Una Chica Llamada Ivonne Call, and what I did was, but I had done like 2 weeks ahead of time of my show. So Thoran Byrne go like, we can't leave our business, but you can because you've already taped, go. And so I ended up in Miami. Bob Fosse ended up being my date to go to Liza's opening.
Uh-huh.
So she remembers, she was very generous, very nice, yeah. So that was the Ocho Puertas time. That was the era.
That's so cool. Do you know that? Do you remember who Sylvia Sims is? Who she was?
Oh, I remember her vaguely. I know that she was very friends with Tora Byrne.
Yeah.
She was a pianist.
She was a singer and she sang in.
She was a blonde woman and she was like big, right?
Well,
a stout woman.
I guess, yeah, that's a good adjective. Stout, yeah. And she was short and she was a vocalist and she had this interesting career in, I guess, the lounge, you know, boutique, hotel, cabaret. That's like the word wouldn't come to me. Really cool lady. And one of the first memories that I have of me going to a big grand show at the Caribe Hilton in San Juan, this must have been mid-70s, to see Dani. My date, my parents sent me with her to go to the club. And so her and I shared a table and she ordered me a Shirley Temple. And I didn't know what it was. And I was like, what is it? And she was like, oh, just wait. And it was, you know, and she told me it was like 7-Up with grenadine and a sherry. And I was like, wow. And I loved it. And she told me all about Shirley Temple and who she was. And so I became obsessed and I had to like look at all the movies. And God, that was incredible. The impression. Yeah. Of that woman.
I know they had her photograph there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I don't think I ever met Sylvia, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. So, all these memories are so pretty. I mean, sometimes I look at those pictures and from, you know, all these years, many years ago, and it's beautiful, you know, like it's nurtured me, and I'm very grateful for all of that.
And, you know, after Tor died, you know, that your dad came here and Gabriel and Angie, you know, we went to his apartment, you know, to see what we could save. And I just moved here, so I got most of my furniture, and I still have it. It was from Tor, yeah,
right.
Old San Juan, that they had brought in from Old San Juan. So I have a lot of desks. Tengo un desk antiguo de la biblioteca de San Juan. And I have, like, photographs of them in front of the Ocho Puertas.
Wow.
I got a few things that I'm going to donate to La Fundación Nacional.
Claro.
It should be there.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, I have some of those, too. Qué lindo. Oye, Yvonne, and so now just to, you know, get out of the nostalgia thing a little bit, Jane the Virgin, I love Jane the Virgin. Can I just say, it's beautiful. De verdad que it tiene alma, it's got soul, and it's cool. And I told you, like, I love Jaime Camil.
Uh-huh.
I think he's a tremendous, like, what a tremendous job he's doing of that character.
I know. And they go to town with him, and he's just so extraordinary as an actor and as a person, I'll tell you that, so Daniela.
Yeah.
Él es uno de los hombres más decentes y lindos, hermosos, un alma. He's a giver. He's a special, special, special kind of actor, and we're very fortunate to have him. And not only that, he's also a mega star, so he's added an audience to our show that otherwise would have never, ever been there, because he's, you know, in Mexico, when you produce shows,
yeah,
it's for the world.
Right. See?
Yeah, so he's like, you know, novelas have afforded him to be in the world. And actually, I even, you know, this is very funny, because sometimes he is like Rogelio de la Vega.
Sí.
But in the best.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous.
But
we need people like him.
Uh-huh. But in the best sense of the word.
Yeah.
Because he will give you like a gift, and it has his name on it.
I love it. Oh my God, that's so cool. But we need people like him. You see what I'm saying?
I know.
It's a gift.
You know, he doesn't do it out of narcissism or anything.
Yeah,
I told him, Jaime, esto tiene tu nombre, you know, what's up? And he goes, oh, para que sepas quién te lo regaló.
Me encanta, I love it. Tiene toda la razón, o sea, yeah, hello. And so now, but all of them, they're all great. I mean, I have to say, like, sometimes I'm very conflicted. All the actors are great. I sometimes have a little, I'm a little partial to Petra. Le tengo cariño, bendito. I think she tries. I think she's a little, she's a little rotten, but she's okay.
Because she's a good actor.
Exacto.
She justifies everything she does, you know.
She's so good. I know, but she's so good, esa.
Yes, she is.
You know, she does it well.
She is, you know, and she's a new actress in a way, you know, because she has some experience out there in Israel where she's, you know,
she's Israeli.
In Israel and her family too. So she's had like serious regulars in other shows there, you know. And her father is like an artist also, like a director or something like that. He was the one who asked her, do you want to be an actress or whatever, you know, because she started as a model. So she's a very fine person. I'll tell you something, so Daniela, everybody in this cast is like so special.
You can tell.
It's amazing that we get along, that are really good, and that we love each other, and then we look out for each other. We don't compete with each other for camera or anything like that. We're all very grateful that we have the blessing of being participants in this wonderful project that is very special, because not all the TV shows are well written.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have real good writers, and our showrunner, Jenny Snyder Ehrman, is so brilliant, because she created, you know, if you see it in Spanish, if you see Juana la Virgen, you will see what she added to the material. You know, you will see that she added, por ejemplo, el narrador latino.
I love that.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah.
And he is so wonderful.
He is amazing, totally.
He is the only one who's gotten Emmy nominations now again.
Oh, really? La Voz.
Oh, yeah. He got it the first time, and now he got it again. And I hope he wins it this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he deserves it. He becomes another character. He's not just a voiceover. He's really another character. Él es dominicano. Él vive en Nueva York. He is... And he has no accent, by the way.
No accent.
No, he puts it on.
Well, it's just his accent. But it's very distinct.
Well, she wanted an accent, like, to remind people of the, like, the Ricardo Montalban Corinthian leather kind of accent.
Sí, sí, sí. Galán de novela.
Exactamente. And then how he reacts, I mean, he's really, like, so incredible. He's interpreted that character. And, you know, and everything. She changed kind of everything from the original premise. And she Americanized the story, because it is an American story in this country, you know. Mm. And especially my character, who is the immigrant, the illegal immigrant, who is here hardworking for so many years until finally she gets her papers. But... how she refuses to speak so much English because, and I told Jenny, I pay too much money for my English classes, you know, what's up? And she's like, no, we want you because it's more authentic. It reflects what the country here is about also. Not only you hear the Hispanic, Mexicanas, Guatemaltecas, Salvadoreñas, Venezolanas, Argentinas, Rusos, las madres, las abuelas rusas que viven around me, I mean, they speak Rusinski to their grandchildren, the children answer back in English.
Yeah, es increíble.
And that's exactly what she has captured, and she's reflecting, which is very different because this didn't exist in the original Jane the Virgin, Juana la Virgen, you know? On the contrary, my character was very bitter. And, like, she wouldn't let go of the anger about her daughter getting pregnant. Imagínate tú, vivir con ese grudge. A mí me preguntaron en la primera conferencia with the Television Critics Association, they asked me, you know, what is the difference between the version and your character? And I told them, you know, the version that I'm playing here is that I live in North America, and who cares what happened in your house, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. But in our countries, oh my God, you will be beholden to a mistake you made or somebody in your family made for the rest of your lives in that neighborhood. So that's the difference, that I didn't have to build on that grudge only and that resentment. Even when I criticize her, I try to imbue it with something else, you know?
With affection and love.
Exactamente. With affection and also with a little, como lo hacía mi mamá, with a little bit of criticism.
Sí, sí.
Que te regañan criticándote, pero que you can't say, ay, no, because, you know, they're right.
Yeah.
You know, and that is so incredible that you're doing this about the abuelas, because in my real life, I never had a relationship to my real abuelas. My abuela from my mother, she died when my mother was 9 years of age.
Wow.
And my abuela from my father, because my parents divorced when I was two, I would see her sporadically, like, I saw her like 5 times in my lifetime, you know? And that was it. And I didn't have a relationship to her. So basically what I do with my character is I try to imbue it with as much as I can remember of the all the tías postizas that I had in Fajardo. Because my mother got to Fajardo by herself. And that's another story that we'll talk about. My mother's stories are like incredible. And so there... You know how la gente adopts you, you know, like your mom or the,
sí, sí.
Your las tías.
Exactly.
So I remember Titi Panchita, Titi Gladys, Titi Lilia.
That's so funny.
And, you know, and a lot of Alba comes from like Titi Panchita many times. But mostly what comes out of Alba is my mom, my mother. Yeah, that's my perimeter. To imbue it with what I know of a real mother in real life, because I'm not a real mother in real life. So I am I'm just modeling it after what I know. All those women who took care of us when we were little, and Mamita, my mother.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
And, you know, my mother died 1 year ago, July 17th, so that you know. And I'm still recovering from that loss. It's very hard because one feels, I feel the need to talk to her. And because I used to talk to her every Sunday, even in her last moments when she was like badly, before she became very, very ill because she got Alzheimer's. But she never forgot who I was or who my sister was. And even if she didn't have much to say, she was present in my conversation. And I remember last year that she looked at me before she got really sick. And she said, mira, está gorda.
Thanks, Mom.
Así mismo. And, you know, it was, for me, was a revelation because when I put on that dress that day, I thought, oye, estoy gorda, ¿qué es? Así mismo. Y cuando ella me lo dijo, and then she was in the Puerto Rican parade last year as a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Rita Moreno was there también como la Grand Marshal. Y mi hermana me dice, because right after that was when my mother started to slip away after the parade in June, you know. And but she looked at Rita and she goes, ay, mira, se está poniendo vieja por fin.
Oh, my God.
I cannot tell Rita ya porque me mata Rita. I love Rita. But, you know, my mother, but that goes to show you that even in her illness, even in the darkest moments of whatever, there was always that ese humor de eso de criticar, but it's like a kind of a Puerto Rican humor that we have, where we are criticizing but making fun of at the same time. It's not really like so deep, you know. So yeah, I miss that. I miss talking to my mom every Sunday. I miss that every day. And you know, I can't help to cry about it.
Yeah.
There will come a time when I won't cry anymore.
Yeah.
But that time certainly is not now. I still cry about it, and I know that if she would have been here, still she would have not been able to have that conversation with me anyway. But it's that connection, is just knowing that I can call. And that she was there anyway. Esa es la vida.
Así es la vida.
Así es la vida, vivir para morir.
Exacto. Y which brings us to the last closing, I guess, statement. I mean, do you feel free? Are you happy?
I'm happy. I decided many years ago when I was like 20, after the Miss Puerto Rico thing, mm-hmm. when I went to live in a hippie commune mm-hmm. for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what set me free, that living in that commune for a year, where I lived surrounded by singers and artists and sculptures and animation. El novio que yo tenía, Paco López, era animation artist. And that's where I discovered who I was. And that's where I discovered that I didn't have to be beholden to any rules, regulations. Me quité los zapatos, boté el brasier. I started to wear my bra in New York only because... it was the 80s, and I'm like, okay, I gotta protect myself here, somehow, a woman,
Yeah.
But still, yes, I feel free and I feel happy because I'm doing what I love to do, which is the only thing that makes me happy is doing what I love to do, which is my profession. That is the truth, and I cannot deny it. It's the thing that makes me mostly más happy que nada en el mundo entero, estar haciendo mi trabajo. And I was talking to another actress the other day, Julia Vera,
mm-hmm.
same thing she told me, same thing. She even told me that she suffers from depression when she's not working. Yo todavía no he llegado ahí, pero who knows. Así mismo, sí, porque actors, we put our like everything in the work. Everything is like, if you're working, you're happy because you're doing, you're creating, you're part of God, That's how I feel. That is part of the creation, be part of the creation, to be creating something out of a piece of paper, words that are written there, and then you flesh out that character. And to me, that's God. Mm. That's God in action. Because you're creating out of somebody else's imagination too, which is God at work too, through them. So, yeah, I feel happy, mama.
Gracias. Thank you.
Gracias a ti. Qué lindo hablar contigo, Concho.
¿Verdad?
Ay, sí, por fin. Qué bueno, carajo.
Thank you for listening to Notes from a Native Daughter. You can find me on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher.